Hi, and welcome to Daring to Leap. I'm your host, Lori Phillip. Are your career moves a product of chance? Or are you strategically steering towards a clear direction and purpose? Sit tight as our esteemed guest, Dr. Cynthia Benson-Mertzer, teaches us the power of intentional advancement and why serendipity just isn't enough. Let's dive in. Dr. Cynthia Benson-Mertzer is a distinguished talent and organizational development strategist with over three decades of international executive leadership experience and is the co-author and CEO of The Zeal of the Heel. Dr. Cynthia's expertise centers on her ability to actualize human potential, which is detailed in her book, Now, Near, Next, a practical guide for mid-career women to move from professional serendipity to intentional advancement, due out on March 19th. Welcome to the show, Cynthia.
Thank you, Lori. So excited to be here.
Yes. I'm so excited to have you here. And I love the idea of your book. So I can't wait for us to dig in and talk about some of the key messages. But first, tell me a bit about your career journey. What were you doing before you started a business and wrote a book?
Right. So my career, so my undergrad's in broadcasting and film. So I originally thought that I was going to pursue journalism and retire Barbara Walters. But I had to pay the bills. And so I found a job working in a commercial real estate business. And kind of fell in love with business. I liked everything about going into the office, negotiating deals. I had an amazing female mentor, which was very rare at that time. Mm-hmm. We're talking mid to late 80s, and we're talking commercial real estate, very male dominated. So I was really fortunate. At one point, they decided to create a training and development department. And I thought, gosh, my broadcasting background, my knowledge of this industry would be such a great combination. And I fell into HR. And so I started on the training and development side, grew in those capacities, went on to another hospitality-based company, then into the restaurant industry in HR, ultimately in gaming, and then finally healthcare. So had a lot of really exciting experiences to grow as an HR professional and ultimately expanded and had other departments and left my last corporate position as the chief administrative officer. But that was only 7 months ago. So this Zeal of the Heel and launching the book and all of those things, I am a brand new solopreneur.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea. Well, congratulations, Cynthia. That's amazing.
Thank you. After 35 years.
Yeah, 35 years. I was trying to do the math. So after 35 years, you decided to leave and start your own business. What really got you to decide to make that leap, going from something very secure, very stable, what you're doing, to the unknown and a bit uncomfortable? What helped you decide to go forward and do that?
So the short version is I was assisted in that. So my position at my last corporate position was eliminated in June. Mm-hmm. And, but here's the plot twist, if you will, or maybe the spoiler alert as we later talk about the book. I had started writing the book back in January of 23, and it was really focused on this notion of being intentional. And I know we'll talk about that. But in the book, as I journeyed through the teaching elements, it was really about my next. What do I want to focus on and do next? I really saw my last position as my last corporate job. And in 3 to 5 years, I had the ambition to start a consulting practice, executive coaching, author additional books, public speaking. And so I created my blueprint to what I thought would be 3 to 5 years from now. Just as we were sending the book, the manuscript to our editors in June, my position was eliminated in the organization. And I went home that afternoon and I thought, I have really one of two options. I either have to go find another C-suite executive job immediately because I have another five plus years to work, or because I had the blueprint, because I had articulated a next step, I could go for it and accelerate that plan. And so I did. And scary, risky. I'm learning as I go. But I'll tell you, the conviction for me around this notion of women looking up and looking forward and being intentional about what's next has never been stronger. Because I really believe that it was at that critical point, had I not had that blueprint, I would have had no other options, or I would have thought I didn't have any other options.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it might have felt like you were starting from scratch if you still had the idea, but you didn't have the plan yet.
That's right.
This seems to happen quite frequently for people that decide to go and do, like, finally go do what they maybe thought about doing before. Is it was kind of forced in a sense where a door shut, and you could look at it a lot of ways. You could be upset about it. You could go find your next C-suite job, or you can lean into it. And it sounds like you've really leaned into it. And that can be quite exciting and quite scary, as I know, having jumped out of my corporate gig after 16 years. And I wasn't as detailed as you. I didn't have a blueprint. I had a few ideas, though. And so we could go from there. But let's shift a bit and talk about this idea of intentionality and shifting out of, I think, most people. And so when we talk about things like this, we're not saying that people are doing it wrong, or it's just that most people go with the flow of life. I certainly did. We have a status quo of, this is where I'm going. And you're just on this path, taking one step forward at a time without, I think, really refreshing the direction that you're going, right? We're just going in the same direction. I graduated college. I got my first job. It was at a really amazing company. I'm like, great, I'm set. And I'm just taking the next position, taking the next step, getting the promotion. But I'm still walking on a path in a straightforward path. And I hadn't really thought up until the point that I did, should I kind of shift gears or maybe double down on this path, or even just the extra step it takes to be intentional. Right. What to you, we talk about intentionality in your career. What does that mean to you?
So, and those are great reflections. We had 30 qualitative interviews with highly successful professional women. And as we had these interviews and studied these women's backgrounds and experiences, one of the things that was thematic across 900 collective years of experience, 4 race ethnicities, 5 countries, and an age band of 35 to about 58, the common through line is that they would say, well, I was lucky, or I was at the right place at the right time, or they would give the credit of their wonderful success to serendipity. And they all mentioned, I wasn't really intentional. I kind of did what you described, right? I was on this path and the path just kept moving forward. And so we looked at it from studying success, and we said, if we could bottle and package the things you did do, intentionally or otherwise, and then be intentional about those things, could we accelerate the path for a lot of women? Because not everybody is as fortunate, as blessed, as lucky, right place, right time. So how do we expand this so that more women have these kinds of successes? And the other thing we found in the research, the qualitative and the quantitative research, is that women are conditioned, and you sort of alluded to this, to look down, work hard, and good things will happen. And to a person, we tend to be taking care of everyone else around us. And so today, still statistically, women take on the lion's share of the household responsibilities, whether they're raising children, caring for aging parents, lending their time and talent to the community. We tend to nurture everyone around us. And if you ask women, who are the top five people that are the priorities of your time and attention, we don't put ourselves in that category. And so essentially what we mean by intentionality is look up, look forward, identify what's next for you. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It could be 18 months from now. It could be 5 years from now. But identify what is your next career milestone, but start working on it today. Even if it's 7 minutes a day, start working on it today. Not when the kids go off to kindergarten, not when the children graduate from college, not when all these other people are put in their proper places, but how do we put our mask on first and carve out a little bit of time every day toward our aspirational next? And so it seems to be resonating. Women are saying, gosh, I don't put myself in the category. I don't create that kind of intentionality. I do put my head down and sort of hope for the best. And for some women, that works out great. And for a lot of women, they get passed over.
Yeah, a couple of things popped out to me as you were speaking about it is, one, I think you hit the nail on the head. Most of us tend to focus in on the work and are not really thinking about ourselves in terms of what their next few steps forward in our career. And the missing pieces I was thinking about that people might be interested in hearing a little bit more around is, what if, like, I understand what you're saying, I should be more intentional, I don't really know what I want to do. So to me, it's understanding, having more clarity about what you want to do, and then also then finding that 7 minutes a day or the time to prioritize it. Because you kind of need both. What are some ideas or thoughts that you have around how we can, let's start with clarity, get more clarity around what are our intentions?
Right. So we unpack the book in three sections. And so what you're really asking about this question is really that middle section. And that is, how do I identify what is my next career milestone? Mm-hmm. How do I create a plan to get there? And so we unpack, first of all, really being clear on your purpose, your values, your mission, your vision. A lot of us work for organizations that have mission statements on the walls and values and all of that. And hopefully we're working for people that resonates. But very few of us have sat down and said, what are my professional values? What is my professional vision and my mission? And so we start there. Then the second thing we do is we really look at, what are the skills and talents that are already in your toolkit? Because skills and knowledge can be taught. And so we don't walk into a new opportunity without anything. So let's catalog. What do we already bring in the way of skills and knowledge? What kinds of skills and knowledge do we need to continue to expand upon? And then the third thing we look at is natural gifts and talents. What are you naturally gifted and wired to do? You have a beautiful natural gift for communication, engaging an audience, bringing people into storytelling. That's a gift, and that's not necessarily everyone's gift. And we could teach other people to do that, but if it doesn't make their heart sing, if it doesn't give them intrinsic satisfaction, then it's probably not a job that would be a lot of fun and very giving. So we really start to get down to the essence of what matters to you and how are you wired so that in a perfect world, your next career milestone feels more like a hobby, that you're getting paid to do what you love and you're naturally great at. So that's really the meat, if you will, of section two. You ask a really important question, though, and that is, how do we create the time in the first place, right? It sounds great. Sounds, yep, Cynthia, we get it. We're on board. We should figure out our next. But you know what? I have small children, or I have my parents living, my aging parents are living with me, or. And so the very first section is all about setting the table and creating the space. And it's work, right? But it's largely around boundaries. And so we talk about boundaries professionally and we talk about boundaries personally. We talk about things like, do you really have to do everything at home? Are there others you could delegate to? I get it. We want to be the person that does a lot of the things, a lot of us. Hang on to the things you love, but could you delegate some of the things that others could do? And then don't be a perfectionist about it, right? Let them do it their way and don't be judgy if they don't do it the way you did. You would have done it.
Are you in my mind right now?
You're like, wait a minute. Nobody can make a peanut butter jelly sandwich like I can. And so we talk a lot about boundaries, but we also talk about boundaries at work because women tend to be the ones, statistically, this isn't a men bad, women good. This is reality and it shows up over and over in the data. We take on a lot of volume and sometimes it's not value. And so we're so willing to help people out or to be the go-to person, what have you, that there are times that we need to create some boundaries around what we take on that's above and beyond the quality of our work and say, am I really adding value to my growth, my development, my success, or am I just taking on volume and that's taking me away from work and things? So in a very concise nutshell, you have to create the room first to be unapologetic and guilt-free about investing in yourself. And then we unpack and explore, okay, what is that investment? How do we create intentionality around that?
Hello, Daring to Leap community. I'm so excited to invite you to a free virtual event that I am hosting called the Ready to Shine Summit, how women can successfully navigate their careers with more ease, purpose, and confidence. I've invited a powerhouse lineup of expert speakers to share with you all of their insights, tips, and guidance. You can learn more and sign up at www.readytoshinesummit.com. Be sure to check it out. I can't wait to see you there. Bye. Yeah, it's all of these topics are so, so, so important. And you're right. We have to create the space to start having these conversations with ourselves around values, gifts, talents. What do I want to do next? These types of things. Because you don't want to do that in a super crazy, frantic, stressful state. You won't. Right. It won't be easy because you'll be shut down and you'll be distracted and you'll be blocked. That's so right. Creating the space and the I think everybody, I don't know a single person that couldn't do better with boundaries. Well, for women, I don't really follow guys that much. I feel like they don't have any problem saying no, but that's just the sense of it. But there is a bit around, I like how you put it, volume versus value. We take on the volume. We also don't let things go. Like we don't reflect and say, okay, I don't have to keep doing this anymore. So then we're just stacking,
that's right.
Stacking. And no wonder we get burnt out, right?
That's right.
Don't feel like we have space to be intentional, which is, it's true. You probably don't have space to be intentional. And so that is a valid concern and why I am assuming, Cynthia, you started off your book from that perspective. Okay, you don't have time. Let's create some time.
That's right. And we look at it from time, talent, treasure, and just saying no. And so think about it this way. And as your audience sort of reflects personally, there are times in our life where we can offer our talents, but we don't have the treasure and we don't have the time. And so the example I would offer is when my children were young as a career mom who traveled and so on, but also still building my wealth and total compensation, et cetera. I didn't have money to write a check for things, but I also didn't have time to be present in the schools. But what I could do is I could offer talent outside of the school day after work. There were other times in my life where, you know what, it was easier for me to pen a check for $25 and give it to the teacher and let them put it toward the school supplies or whatever they needed, rather than having to go figure out when I was going to be able to get to Target and pick up the supplies and bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's women should really think about, how can I give up? If I feel compelled to give up myself, maybe there's alternative ways versus having to put all three things or always show up for everything. And then when is it okay just to say no? Not now. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a great perspective. It is getting past this idea that we have to be all to everyone all the time. And I like how you brought in seasons of life. Just like when your kids are newborns or toddlers, is probably not the best time to go for that brand new, really stretch assignment that you have to put in a lot of upfront work just to get settled, when it's okay to say not right now. And I think it comes back to valuing your own time and valuing yourself and where you are and letting that be enough. Like, you right. are enough where you are right now, and you can pick and choose how you would like to give. And it doesn't always need to be time. And so I appreciate that perspective, Cynthia, around what else could I do? Because it sometimes we just default to time. Like, I need to be the room mom. I will confess, I have no desire to be the room mom.
Right.
And I try not to feel guilty about it. But it's just not my, it's not something I want to do. And it's not my gift. I would probably drop the ball. And so, you know, kind of thinking through all of the different pieces and where can I contribute that would be best served for everybody, including myself.
Right.
I think that's the key. We need to include ourselves in this equation on what's best.
That's right. And then embrace, I made that choice because instead of, so it's really embracing grace, right? Instead of feeling regret and failure about something, I made that choice because it isn't my gift, and I wouldn't be offer as much quality as somebody who loved doing that. But there's other ways that I can contribute that are ways to give back. And I made that choice because I think that was the best for me, and that was the best for the school or the whatever it might be. We so often live in this, we're not enough. We didn't do enough. We're not enough at home, and we're not enough at work. And so how do we embrace grace and accept our choices in a positive mindset?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think part of it comes back to intentionally choosing. And we're talking about intentionality. When you, instead of just defaulting to feeling like you dropped the ball, you didn't volunteer, you're not doing it, actually choosing and saying, I'm not going to do it, and using your language, because, and remind yourself that, right? And decide, let yourself off the hook a bit. I love this idea of how much power there is in decision-making and making choices, because it feels different when you intentionally decided to not do it versus it just like fell through the cracks. And that's is actually a big difference between the two mindsets and just the different feelings around it.
Right. It's really about energizing your self-agency, just giving energy to your self-agency, because it's you're taking the control.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I know you talk about self-agency in the book as well, right? What I love self-agency. I feel like a lot of the time we don't feel like we have control or we have the power to decide or to choose. And it's everything. Like, I felt when I felt boxed in, I was so miserable, right? It's like I just wanted to be free. And so talk to me, Cynthia, about self-agency and what can we do for ourselves, or what are your suggestions around how we can cultivate that a bit more for ourselves?
Part of it is just putting our dreams and aspirations into the universe So mm-hmm. I talked about three sections. Section three is really around how do you create an infrastructure around yourself to help move you towards your goal? None of us have to do this alone. But if we don't put our aspirations into the universe and nobody knows that our next goal is to accomplish this certification or that degree or write a book or be promoted or whatever it might be, then we don't have advocates, right? We're sort of going it alone. And I think we do that out of fear. I think we do that out of, gosh, if I tell somebody I'm going to embark on writing a book, who am I to think I can be an author, right? The self-doubt, the imposter syndrome that shows up in that. But we have so much to offer. And when you start to seek out those sponsors and let people know that you trust, that know what you're capable of, that have seen your value and your worth, and you tell those individuals, hey, this is something I'm aspiring toward in the next 18 months, 3 years, 5 years, what have you. Those are the people that are the voices in the room when you're not there. So those are the individuals that say, Lori would be really great at that. And my understanding is that she has an aspiration to do thus and so. We ought to consider adding her to that committee or seeing if she'd like to be a part of that assignment, what have you. So part of self-agency is speaking up in the first place. Don't give your voice to others by remaining silent. We use the metaphor of being on a merry-go-round. We get on the merry-go-round at mid-career, around 28 years old, and mid-career is 3 decades. So we're there another 30 years. And points along the way, we look up and we're kind of like, why am I still on this same horse going in circles? Why? Lots of other people have left the merry-go-round and here I go. I'm going around for another spin. And we're like, you know what? Make a plan to get off the merry-go-round. Know the next ride. You need a bigger amusement park. So figure out what that is and look up and put a plan in place for how you're going to get to that next spot and then tell people about it.
Oh, goodness. I was on the same horse on the merry-go-round for so long. And you know what? And that's okay for people as long as that we're aware of it, right? And you know what? I like being on this horse. It's a great horse. Right. If it's serving you, then it's fine. But if it's not, if you're starting to question, if you really want to move forward faster or in a more clear way towards, and this is where I want to go, Cynthia, is back to we were talking about intentionality. And when you were explaining all the different pieces to it on what are your values, what are you good at, pulling all those pieces together. And what I really love about that conversation is that when we're talking about what's that next step in your career, we're not saying, what's the next step everybody else is saying you should do in your career? Because left to our own devices and not really thinking it through, that's where we'll be. That next promotion or maybe taking that next step up at a different company or looking at the shoulds and what society is telling us. But how amazing would it be to take the time to think, wow, that next position could be something that I love, something that I'm great at, something that really lights me up. And just knowing what that is and kind of setting that out there as a goal is so powerful. What are some of the other things that we might have missed so far on this topic of setting that next step for an individual?
I think part of it is there's a level of risk taking. It's much safer to stay on that same horse. Mm-hmm. It can feel really isolating if you're the only one, especially if you're the only woman trying to make that move. The other thing is women get very nervous, and there's a reason about this notion of, is it self-promoting? Or is it self-actuating? If I put my interests out into the universe, if I start working toward my next milestone, whatever that may be, does that somehow send this message that I think I'm better than others, or I think I'm more capable or more worthy of that next position than others? Our male counterparts do not do that. I mean, that is foreign. They are looking up, they're looking forward, they're driving to the next aspiration. And frankly, men are pretty collegial. Men are pretty fraternal. They're sort of supporting each other. But here's the thing, and I was on another podcast recently, and I said the difference is men can throw a rock and they're going to hit a position that they're willing to stick their neck out for, whether they're fully qualified or not. And they've mm-hmm. got men surrounding them that have a shared life experience that are smacking them on the back and tell them to go for it. Women live in a scarcity mindset very often instead of an abundance mindset. We see the one job that we're vying for. We can be very competitive with one another and very hard on one another as we're trying to clamor toward that one position. And we don't always have a lot of female role models as we accelerate up the career ladder, if you will, to watch and seek guidance from and have sponsorship from, et cetera. And so it sort of creates this culture that can be really dysfunctional. Our feeling is focus on you, focus on your journey. Your journey, you and I might be both interested in the same next steps, but my focus needs to be on how do I ready myself? How do I continue to develop and grow toward that, just as yours is, and not in competition with one another? And then elevate and shine a light for other women. So we spend a lot of time talking about both focus on you, but also be a light and be a guide and be a supporter of other women who are trying to do the same thing, because we're a whole lot stronger together when we are linking arms and moving this forward than we are when we are competing against one another in this sort of rat race.
Women empowering women is one of the themes on this podcast for sure, because lifting each other up is the way. And to your point, I think your example clarifies this so much, because it's not a super easy path for a lot of women. There are a lot of barriers. There's less support in a lot of cases, less role models. So why put even more in the way for ourselves? Why not lock arms and move forward together? And I think we're really turning the corner in this area in a lot of ways. And it does, I think part of it does go back to the scarcity versus abundance mindset. If you feel mm-hmm. like there's only one position and you really want it, and you're in that place of if I don't get it, or like there's a lack mentality around it.
Right.
Whereas if you feel like, you know what, if I don't get this position, there'll be other positions and I can go over here, I can go over there. And I'm just, I feel really strong in my capabilities and what I can put forward in terms of value, that I have a lot of options. And I think that's where we need to grow as women, is on our own. This goes back to the confidence and self-worth, right? And I'm good enough. Men are throwing their names in the hat and they have 25% of the qualifications. That says something, because I'm not putting myself out there unless I'm 95%. And I know somebody's going to be on the interview panel. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Absolutely.
It is such a big difference. Yeah.
Well, women over-index on performance and men over-index on potential. We feel that we have to master something before we move forward. And men are like, fake it till you make it. And so that's why it's so important that we inventory our skill and knowledge, but we also really understand natural talent. Because that's where we can develop that potential, and that's where we can, if we're going to bet on ourselves, first of all, I think it's the best bet you can make. And second of all, we bet mm-hmm. on our potential. We can learn skills and knowledge. Our potential is where we show up uniquely. We do spend some time talking about confidence. We lean into imposter syndrome and ways to change that negative self-talk. How do you mm-hmm. repurpose those thoughts and that mental model? Some of that, which is from social norms, cultural norms, upbringing, right? And so some more than others have to really work at changing that narrative to say, I am enough and I am capable. But I'll tell you again, and I'm so convicted to this, it gets back to having a plan. It gets back to intentionality. Coming full circle, on June 26th, if I had not had formalized some kind of what the path would look like, and I would have been starting from scratch, from square one to thinking about starting my own business, I promise you, Lori, I would not have done it. It would have been far too overwhelming. It would have been far too scary. I've been a corporate person for 35 years. I've always had great brands around me. The idea that I would be going it alone was unimaginable. But because I had been journeying with a plan and because I had it articulated, I was like, okay, I've ticked some of these boxes already. The manuscript's going to the publisher and I have my executive coaching certification. And all right, so now I just need to accelerate these things. That was a whole lot more exciting to me than thinking I may have to go back into the corporate grind and start all over at this stage of my life. At 56 years old, that sounded exhausting. So, and there's times in life where that's not. I'm at a different season. But take that example and move it to any season of life and insert your name here rather than waiting for the door to shut, as you said earlier. A spouse or significant other is relocated. You have to start over. There's a layoff. You're starting over. There's so many things in life. Life is messy. And our very last chapter, we really focus on resilience. We focus on how are you being good to yourself holistically.
Yeah. There's so much there. And we can talk and talk for hours, I think. And I love this idea, though, on intentionality, crafting your plan, taking the time once you found it, once you find some time.
Right.
Prioritize yourself and really lean into what you that next step might look like for you. And the last thing I'll say before we wrap this up, Cynthia, is that there's something really powerful about putting your intention on paper, whether it's in a plan, in a journal, because now your mind will start to see things in the world that align with that idea. Like if you don't know that you actually want this type of a job for your next step, you won't see those openings when they pop up. But that's now that it's on your radar, you'll start to see it and you'll start to see the pieces come together. So I think that's a really smart first step is to start to get clear and put that together. And it doesn't need to be a 10-year plan or anything like that. Just what? One step, one idea.
That's right.
So as we close out, Cynthia, where can our listeners connect with you, learn more about your book, buy your book?
Yes.
Where can they find you?
Yes. So Now Near Next, practical guide for mid-career women to move from professional serendipity to intentional advancement. There's a couple things I'd love to offer. So you can find the book on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever books are sold. Also, if you go to our website at www.zeelofthehiel.com, you can buy the book there. And up until our publication date, so it's in pre-sale, up until our publication date, we're offering $600 worth of free bonuses. So your listeners will get a masterclass, they'll get invited to a webinar, they'll get invited to be part of our LinkedIn community. So would love for just the retail price of $28, they get $600 worth of investment in education and training. The other thing is you mentioned writing things down and we're big fans of that. So there's two things we offer for free that they can go get today. On that same website, there is a mid-career audit where it's 20 questions. It takes less than 4 minutes and it'll kind of give you a sense of how intentional are you being. And the Now Near Next blueprint, you can download a copy and start putting pen to paper today. So both of those things are free on the website, zeelofthehiel.com.
Great. And we'll put a link to the website in the show notes. It'll be super easy for people to find it. And
beautiful.
I really appreciate you, Cynthia, for sharing your story, but also all this important information that I think we miss. We don't take the time to focus in on ourselves, and it's so important. So I really appreciate you bringing a lot of awareness to that and bringing it forward with the book. So exciting.
Thank you so much, Lori. It has been such a pleasure. I really appreciate you and the time today.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed it, I would love for you to subscribe. If you're already a subscriber, don't forget to share the podcast with a friend. Make sure to tune in next week. We will be speaking with Michelle Pollack about why success often doesn't feel as good as it looks and what we can do about it. I hope you have an amazing week. It's your time to shine. Bye.